You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Jungle Deep.
The podcast that explores the tropical lifestyle.
Hello and welcome to the podcast, Jungle Deep. This is your host, Dr. Jones. We are on safari, and I'm here with you to learn, to have fun, and to explore the jungle.
Dr. Jones, I'm here and have for you today a show that is different. Welcome to a special edition of Jungle Deep. We're going to visit with not one, not two, but three guests. The three wildlife educators and world travelers that have been absolutely catapulted into fame and stardom as they have been voted on YouTube to become the three finalists in the competition to become Mutual of Omaha's next Wild Kingdoms Wild Guide. Now, what has happened is this. The well-known television show Wild Kingdom is approaching its 50th anniversary, and the show's sponsor, Mutual of Omaha, has in recent weeks launched a video competition on YouTube. Over 5 million people, 5 million, have viewed the over 200 video submissions and voted on their favorites. 12 semi-finalists were chosen. From that, 3 finalists were picked. Jungle Deep has for you this exclusive program interviewing with all 3 finalists, Stephanie Arney, Tiago Bahia, and Regina Bussi. And in the weeks ahead, these 3 finalists, who have now each won $3,000, will be flown to headquarters and complete a series of meetings and auditions with the TV program leadership. One will be chosen, be awarded $10,000, and will host an anniversary internet TV show this fall. The winner will be announced July 15th. Obviously, the stakes are high, as all 3 finalists expect this opportunity to be life-changing for them, and I, for one, will be listening to hear which one sounds best able to put their personal ego aside during this heady time and be most committed to helping our endangered planet. But that's just me. What do you think? Who would you choose? Let's find out. Just for fun, I found some fitting music to bookend each discussion. In each case, the name of the contestant is part of the name of the song. First up is Stephanie Arney. Stephanie is our own Jungle Deep wildlife correspondent you've been hearing regularly on our show. Do I know how to pick 'em or what? Stephanie is the outreach educator for the Honolulu Zoo, and the opening bit of music is called What Else? Stephanie by T. Mickey.
Stephanie, when she
Stephanie Arney is a wildlife educator with the Honolulu Zoo and a world traveler. And one of her outstanding characteristics is her endless enthusiasm for teaching others about animals. Stephanie is one of three finalists in the Wild Guide competition. Welcome, Steph, to Jungle Deep.
Aloha.
I know this has been a very exciting time for you. Lots going on. You're doing all kinds of interviews. Becoming world famous, just as a semi, well, you're not a semi-finalist anymore, you're a finalist, you're one of three in the big Wild Guide competition. So tell us a little bit about what is the Wild Guide to you?
What is the position of Wild Guide? Like, what do I think it'll take?
Right, what is it? What is it you're competing for?
Okay, well, first of all, this is a contest from Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. This is a show that was really popular from 1963 to 1985. They've also produced a lot of really awesome documentaries as well. And the wild guides back then, you know, like Jim Fowler and Marlon Perkins, these men were brave and knowledgeable and daredevils in my eyes. And they used to go out all over the world and teach people about African animals. And of course, in that same process, would teach about how the people around in those areas coexisted with those animals. So it's just a really fascinating show. You know, these people were opening up the world to their audience, you know, right there in the homes. So I think it's an incredible position. I found out about it because of a former coworker of mine from the Omaha Zoo. She had known that I was working towards wanting to become a wild guide and have my own TV show here in Hawaii, but she had overheard that Mutual of Omaha was going to have a contest to find their wild guide. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, this is it. This is for me. This is what I've been working towards. So yeah, I went for it, Ken. And now I'm a finalist, well, and it's crazy.
Well, what were you doing before the competition?
Well, I am currently the Education Outreach Coordinator for the Honolulu Zoological Society here in Honolulu, Hawaii. And I have been here for about a year, and my main job is to do tours and shows. I go out into the schools and organizations and businesses all around the island of Oahu and neighboring islands as well, teaching about wildlife and wildlife conservation.
What were your goals before this competition? Because I know the competition like this tends to change one's focus and goals for the future, but before the competition, what were your goals at that point?
I guess I thought the ultimate for me, even if we go back to 4 years ago, was just traveling the world and seeing animals, not only in zoos and aquariums and wildlife sanctuaries, but in the wild as well. So my goals and my dreams have gotten larger and larger as I move along. And after I did get to travel and see these animals, I started being able to tell that, wow, I could actually dream even bigger than this. So by the time I got back to the U.S. and I settled here in Hawaii,
why did you enter the contest?
I entered the contest because this is a huge goal of mine. I think coming to Hawaii, I wanted to start a local TV show to expose all of the amazing wildlife organizations out there that are trying to help change the world, and I wanted to help facilitate that. And then when I found out from my old coworker about this contest, I obviously had to go for it. It was like, oh my goodness, I could have a TV show that's even bigger than a local TV show. It could be an international TV show as well. And I had to go for it. I would love to have the opportunity to reach a larger audience, to really share my experience and knowledge and passion for wildlife and wildlife conservation. So it would just be silly if I didn't do it.
Yeah, it makes good sense. When you went into the process of entering the competition, you had to create your own video. Did you have, you know, those elements available to you? I mean, you have to create a message and visuals with video and stills and decide on a style and story and music and the editing. Did you have all that at hand?
Well, I was really lucky because of the goal that I just mentioned, that I wanted to have a local TV show. I was fortunate enough to, in my networking capabilities, I was able to meet a person named Gary Sprinkle, and he is a pretty well-known anchorman here who's semi-retired, who's been helping me to create videos. He's been teaching me video editing. I've learned a lot about how to have a good on-screen appearance. I've learned all the details of just video and film production in the last year, and I'm definitely nowhere near being a master, but I feel very happy that I've gotten exposed to it so I can respect all aspects to it. But when I found out about this contest, he was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. This is exactly what we, you know, been working for. So fortunately, he was there to assist me and guide me in a way. But the whole concept of the video was just a vision that I had. I wanted to show the producers, and I wanted to show all the fans of Wild Kingdom that I can be a host, and that I am very passionate about what I do, and I'm knowledgeable and very enthusiastic about it. So when I made my video, I was like, okay, so I want to make it look like a real TV show already so they can just picture me in their TV show. So I was going to have, you know, the beginning kind of boom, 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 exciting, adventurous music with me traveling around the world, working with animals, and then me, you know, teaching about lemurs, and then going into the rainforest with chameleons. And yeah, so that whole vision was, you know, it came from this here noggin, but fortunately enough, I did have the help of two really awesome friends of mine. Like I said, Gary Sprinkle, who helped, was a cameraman and helped with video production. And then another man named Telefero Brandon, who helped me with the editing as well. But I am very adamant about trying to learn all of these details on my own as well. So great guidance.
That's a lot more to learn. Well, now that you're in the competition and there's a good chance you could be the next wild guide for the Wild Kingdom, how has that changed your goals for the future? Have they changed?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. The ceiling has been raised. You know, I think it's interesting that here, you know, growing up, you have these limitations. You're like, oh, I think the highest thing is working. For me, I remember the top job was San Diego Zoo. And then it was to be able to work on the Great Barrier Reef. And then it was maybe I could have a local TV show. And now being exposed to this experience and meeting producers from around the world and talking to TV and radio stations, I'm finding that perhaps I can go even bigger than that. And of course, the message, which is wildlife conservation, it is always in the back of my mind. So now I think with the exposure and the knowledge that I have now, it would be pretty awesome to start a huge movement to help protect wildlife by just educating people on how our daily actions, like are the things that we consume, by reducing and reusing those things, that we could really impact not just the wildlife, but also other people all over the world as well. So that message is always there. So if I could start maybe a nonprofit organization, if a TV show is connected to that, I don't know. There's so many endless possibilities now, Ken, and my dreams are getting bigger.
I'm not surprised. You're a big dreamer to begin with. What if you don't win this competition? There is three of you. Somebody's not going to win this particular competition. How do you expect your life would be different from here on as a result?
You know what, Ken? I'm going to keep on trucking. I feel as though what I do, I was born to do this, and I love it. I'm happy every day I wake up with a smile on my face, be like, oh my gosh, today I get to teach people about animals and how to protect the planet, and nothing's cooler than that. So I'm just going to continue on doing that every single day in some capacity, whether I stay at the zoo or, like I said, I start my own local TV show or an online TV show or my own nonprofit. I don't know. I'm going to continue going along, Ken, pushing this message, and I'll be proud of whoever does win, and I'll be definitely looking forward to watching Wild Kingdom in the fall. But yeah, I'll still keep trucking along, Ken. Nothing's going to stop me. Passion is pretty strong.
Do you have a final message for our listeners?
I guess the biggest thing is if you want to follow along with my journey, you can like my Facebook fan page at Stephanie Arne, last name A-R-N-E, and you can learn. I put up fun facts and videos every single day, and you can watch my progress as well. I also have a website, www.stephaniearney.com, and you can follow my blog. You can check out other opportunities where maybe I can visit you or you could hire me for different things, as well as check out my portfolio and learn a little bit more about me. Other than that, I hope that everybody just knows that my overall message is to help everybody understand that we are all connected. It is incredible how connected we are to the insects, to the dirt, to the ocean, to the trees, to the animals, and to people all around the world. And as long as you take, just be more aware of that. Remember where things come from and where they go, and that every decision you make in your day can impact the planet in some way, shape, or form. So do everything that you can to reduce the amount of plastics and papers and water that you use. And know that when you go to bed at night, that you're doing everything that you can to save this planet.
Well, that's a great message, and we're out of time, but I want to wish for you on behalf of our listeners, as you move forward in Mutual of Omaha's Wild Guide Competition, the very best for you.
Thank you so much, Ken, and thank you, fans. Have a great day. Aloha.
That's why I march. In Army's Army. In Army's Army. Sign. I'll do a hit.
You are listening to
Jungle Deep. Deep.
Dog Shelter Blues, the new novel by Mark Conkling. This hard-hitting story lights up the world of animal rescue with engaging characters and their pets, struggling with their own internal demons as they attempt to rescue innocent creatures that sometimes bring a mysterious transforming power to broken lives. Read the first chapter of Dog Shelter Blues free at dogshelterblues.com. Then come along a breathtaking journey that ends with an astonishing triumph of good over evil. Order your copy of Dog Shelter Blues today. Available at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Now, more of
Jungle Deep.
Next up is finalist Tiago Bahia. Tiago is an advertising executive by day and an adventurer and videographer in his spare time. Bahia, by the way, is the name of a famous and beautiful tiki music song. But first, we will open with a bit of song called Tiago by Keith Oxman. Tiago Bahia is a traveler, explorer, and a fine filmmaker. One of his outstanding characteristics is the beautiful and creative craftsmanship of his videos. Tiago is one of the three finalists in the Wild Guide competition. Welcome, Tiago, to Jungle Deep.
Dr. Jones, it is my pleasure and my honor to be in your program.
Well, I appreciate you being here, too. Now, I know this is a very exciting time for you as well, because you're in this competition for the Wild Kingdom Wild Guide, and you're not just in the competition, you've made it through the semifinals into the finalists. You're one of three. Tell us, if you would, for a moment, what is being a wild guide all about? What is that? That's not well asked. My grammar is hurting.
Indeed. Very, very exciting times. I am one of the finalists, as
yes.
You just said, and I am super excited about this opportunity. I can't wait to be in Omaha to audition and maybe be the presenter of this famous show.
Yeah, that would be terrific. I got to ask you, what were you doing before the competition?
I was working for an ad agency here in El Paso, Texas.
And traveling, though. You've traveled a lot. Your video reveals that. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, every chance I get, I travel. I get out there. If it's not a 1 week or 2 weeks vacation, I try to get out every weekend that I have a chance. You know, life is short. You don't have to go across the world to be with nature, to do these things I have been doing, the things that you have been seeing in my videos. I just like being out there.
Do you mind sharing with us some of the places you've been?
Yes, hiking to the bottom of the Grand Canyon, which is not so far from here. I consider a 10-hour or 11-hour car drive not so far. So, yes, that's one of the places I've been recently. I've explored a lot in the New Mexico state and Arizona and a little bit of the northern part of Mexico. Those are parts of the places nearby that I have explored for weekends. Now, when I have more time, I try to go farther. Belize in Central America is one of the places. Switzerland in Europe is another one of my favorites. And South Florida. I used to live in Miami, and all the swamps and the crystal clear blue water really attracts me. And those are some of the videos I have.
Yeah, love that beautiful blue water. Well, you've done a fair amount of traveling. And before we go any further, we should explain that that beautiful accent of yours is because of what? Where do you come from?
I fake it. No, really. I was born and raised in Brazil in a very unique place. The city is called Belém. Belém sits right in the mouth of the Amazon River, and that's the place I grew up. 2/3 of my life there, the first 20 years of my life were there. and a big, bustling 2 million people town, city. But the unique thing about it is that you drive for 20 minutes or 30 minutes away from the city, and you are in the middle of nowhere. You are in the jungle. Very, very nice place to grow up.
Well, it sounds great. And you're currently living in Texas, I believe. Is that right?
I am. I moved here about 4 years ago from New York City. So I used to live also in another jungle, the country jungle of Manhattan.
Yeah. Well, you've got it covered. People listening to this podcast might think we're sitting in the jungle right now. I have to apologize, but my macaws have decided to get really vocal this afternoon. So that's what's going on in the background. Or you can pretend we're in the Amazon. Either way, that's okay. Well, tell us, what were your goals back then before you entered the competition? Did you have any goals about doing things with this travel thing and the video? Because you shoot your own videos too, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But what were your goals before the competition?
I didn't have actually no big goals. I'm just a guy with a camera that likes to travel and film. I like to film my adventures, and I edit them into short clips, maybe 3-4 minutes long, and I share it with family and friends and with people that maybe don't have the chance to go to these unique places that I visit.
Uh-huh.
And that was my hobby. I never really thought about it as a way to make money, but now I have a shot at it.
Yeah. Well, how did you hear about the contest?
Somebody told me to go online and look for this contest, because a friend of mine, he's one of my friends, he likes my videos, so he knows I have a knack for this kind of stuff. So he told me, hey, Thiago, you should be in this competition. This is for you. So he gave me the link. I looked it up and I said, yes, definitely, I will send my video.
And why? Why did you want to enter this competition?
Well, why not? I mean, I grew up watching all these Animal Planet and Discovery Channel shows, and why not? Why not be the guy there in front of the camera, bringing all these adventures and these animal stories and nature to the viewers? Why not me? Everybody's saying that I have the potential, so let me have my shot at it. Maybe I'm their next guide.
Well, did you have any concerns, as I'm sure most contestants considering applying or entering this thing, they had to submit a video. So did you have any concerns about the process of creating your video?
No. As soon as I read the rules, I had my video made, all edited in my mind. All I needed was the opening shot, as that you've seen it. It was in the place called White Sands here in New Mexico. It's me in the sand dunes with scuba gear diving into blue water. So there's no blue water in the desert. But I already had that shot from a diving trip in Belize. So I thought my opening shot will be me sitting on the sand dune in the desert with full-on scuba gear, diving into blue water. So people are not expecting blue water in the desert. So
it's the
only shot that I had to do for this video, the video submission I entered.
Really? Really? Well, that was very effective.
Worked.
Yes, it did. When I first saw it, I thought, oh, he's in some exotic coastal sand dunes in South America somewhere. And the ocean's just on the other side of that dune. I just knew it, And when I saw the diving gear there, I go, the ocean's right on the other side. He's on the coast somewhere in some exotic land. And sure enough, you dive into the ocean. I thought it was great fun. But I think you have a great... In fact, that's what filmmakers do. They picture these things in their minds before they even get into the editing suite, And that's why, I say you have a real knack for this video stuff. Because it's not that simple. That's not that simple. I mean, there's a message you want to get across. You have visuals you have to be concerned about. You got to have video segments or stills that you use. You got to decide on a style and a story and pick the music and then do the editing. And
that's right.
You've been doing all this stuff already, so you knew how to do it.
Yes, and it was a quick and simple camera trick to do. You should have seen the face of the park ranger when he saw me lugging the scuba gear to the top of the sand dune. This place is in the middle of New Mexico, landlocked.
In the desert, yes.
In the desert.
What are you doing with the scuba gear? You're lucky they didn't lock you up. This guy's lost his mind. He's been out there too long in that sun. Yeah, that's great. That's great. Well, moving along here. How has the competition changed your goals? Now that you find you're a finalist, you may even end up being the wild guide. Has this changed your goals in relation to this kind of material, this kind of work?
Yes, definitely. It was a slap in the face. Hey, maybe you should be doing this for a living. Submitted my video and he got, a very good viewership. I'm sure he got a very good amount of votes for them to have me as a finalist. And yeah, he told me, Tiago, maybe you should quit your day job and just go for it with all your guts. You clearly have what it takes. So that is what this whole competition thing instilled in me.
Well, what effects are you expecting if you become the Mutual of Omaha Wild Guide? What kind of effect will that have on your daily life?
I see myself as going on more trips, traveling to different places, not only in this country, but abroad, and doing more and more of these videos, more in a professional setting, of course, and, you know, hopefully be the next Perkins out there.
Well, what if you do not win? You know, somebody's going to not win this competition. If that happens, how do you expect your life to be different from here on in some way?
No, I never given so much thought about not winning. That's how much confidence I have in this thing. But if that is the case, if I do not win, of course I will pursue all the ways to be out there, in front of the camera, bringing nature, bringing animals to viewers around the world.
See?
This show will be on a YouTube channel, YouTube TV, so it will be broadcasted throughout the world. So I will definitely pursue other ways, if not Mutual of Omaha, other ways to be out there.
Just keep doing it then.
Yes, definitely.
That's great. Well, I think you have a real knack for it, so that's good news. Well, how about a final message for our listeners? Is there anything you'd like to tell them? How can they stay informed about you and what you're up to?
And the people can log in and see what's going on with the competition, who is going to be their next guide. They can follow that on that website. Right now, I don't have a blog or anything. I do have a YouTube channel where most of my videos are posted there for everyone to see. And you can find that on a simple YouTube search. Just type in my name, Tiago. That is T-H-I-A-G-O and the number 1029 altogether. Tiago 1029.
Great. Well, that's terrific. I appreciate that. And I know all of our listeners, I'm sure, wish you the best as you move forward in the Mutual of Omaha's Wild Guide Competition. Thank you for being with us today and good luck to you.
Thank you very much, Dr. John. It has been a pleasure.
Someone that I long to see keeps haunting my memory. And so the loneliness deep in my heart calls to you, calls to you.
You're listening to
Jungle Deep. Deep.
Are you crazy about cats? If so, check out The World is Your Litter Box, Deluxe Edition. This clever how-to manual for cats, written by a cat named Quasi, contains more laughs than should be allowable in one book, and is poignantly underscored by the combative yet loving relationship between Quasi and his human. The World is Your Litter Box, Deluxe Edition, is guaranteed to have you laughing your tail off. So, treat yourself to a copy today. Available from Amazon.
I'm not much of a reader, but I do wish I were more well-read.
There are so many great books coming out. I wish I could find a way to keep up.
Audible.com makes it easy to stay well-informed and catch up on your reading simply by listening. Audiobooks from Audible turn downtime into uptime. You'll be more productive and become well-read.
Now I'm able to catch up on all the great books I've been wanting to read.
With Audible, I feel smarter.
Pet Life Radio listeners, try Audible.com now and get your first 30 days of Audible Listener Gold Membership Plan free. And get a free audiobook. Choose from over 100,000 titles. To get this great deal, go to audibledeals.com. That's audibledeals.com.
Hi, this is Tim Link, animal communicator and pet expert, and host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have you ever wanted to know what your pet is really thinking? Do you want to find out if they truly understand what you're trying to tell them? Ever wish you could build a better understanding and closer relationship with your pet? Well, now you can. Learning to Communicate with Animals is a four-part on-demand workshop. In the workshop, you'll learn the essential techniques that are necessary to communicate with animals, including what is animal communication, breathing correctly to achieve the perfect state to communicate with your animals at a deeper level, using guided meditation exercises and method to communicate with animals, and how to send and receive information from your animals. So if you're wanting to learn how to communicate and connect with your animals at a deeper level, visit petliferadio.com/workshop and purchase and download Learning to Communicate with Animals. You'll be glad you did.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jeff Werber from Ask the Vets with Dr. Jeff here on Pet Life Radio. We want to hear from you. Listen in. We're on every Thursday, 1 o'clock Pacific Time, 4 o'clock Eastern Time here on PetLifeRadio.com. We are one of the only live shows on Pet Life Radio, and I'm here to answer your questions. You can call in at 877-385-8882, or you can drop me an email to drjeff@petliferadio.com, and hopefully we'll see you here on Thursdays.
A word about tropical rainforest destruction and its role in climate change. I often say that tropical rainforest destruction is our number one environmental problem. That surprises many people because tropical rainforest destruction is invisible to most and rarely discussed, while climate change seems more threatening, is more visible, and is beginning to be mentioned by our nation's leaders. So why do I put such an emphasis on the need for tropical rainforest conservation? Climate change is quickly becoming mankind's most pressing environmental problem. The most profitable and powerful corporate interests in history, the oil companies, have led efforts to create legions of skeptics and deniers. However, most people are now convinced that our scientists are correct. After all, we have all experienced extreme weather events for ourselves in recent years. Climate change is finally getting some mention by our nation's leaders and increasing discussion on alternative media. However, it is not currently being discussed in some 90%+ of commercial media stories about weather. Our nation's media outlets are adding to the lethargy in responding to this crisis. There is another facet to this problem that is too rarely discussed. On top of the problem of climate change not being mentioned in most media stories about severe weather events is the fact that a major contributor to climate change is getting no mention at all. Most people are aware that CO2 emissions from burning fossil fuels are creating a greenhouse effect in the atmosphere, warming the planet. But are most people aware that tropical rainforest destruction contributes 20 to 25% to global warming? That its contribution to the greenhouse effect is roughly equal to the contribution made by the world's transportation sector? Surprising, yes, and seldom mentioned. With rainforest destruction playing such a major role, as much as one quarter of the problem, in resulting climate change, there is an opportunity to make great progress in ways that are in addition to the challenge of getting away from carbon-based fuels. Tropical rainforests sequester huge amounts of carbon in their foliage. As these forests are cut and burned, that carbon is released into the atmosphere. In addition, the ongoing absorption of CO2 that dense forests provide is reduced or ceases to exist. Further, large areas of forest destruction disrupt natural water and energy cycles, causing abnormal weather deviations that aggravate climate change. In addition, albedo, the reflectivity of sunlight from the region's surface, is changed, affecting weather. Half of the world's tropical rainforests have been destroyed. Despite 40 years of environmental activism, the destruction of the tropical rainforest is continuing and has not yet slowed. Considering all of this, it is easy to understand how rainforest destruction contributes to climate change worldwide. I am sorry to say that tropical rainforest destruction creates another horrible problem that affects the entire planet and will have profound effects upon civilization going forward. That is biodiversity depletion, or species extinction. Medicines and food are just some of the benefits that biodiversity provides, not just to indigenous people, but to all of civilization. Biodiversity is the reservoir of life from which we draw upon and will continue to need to advance our way of life. All living things, including humans, are interdependent. We absolutely need each other. This web of life is our foundation, our support. Most living things live in the rainforest. Species diversity is extreme and concentrated in these forests. As we destroy the forests, we are destroying species of life at a rate of 1,000 to 10,000 times greater than the natural background rate. We are punching a big hole in the web of life on our planet. While the causes of climate change are, to a great degree, reversible, destruction of our planet's biodiversity is not. Extinction is forever. Tackling tropical rainforest destruction can help to curtail both biodiversity depletion and climate change, a topic certainly worthy of far more public attention. It must be a part of climate change discussions. We must swiftly and abundantly create a broad public demand for tropical rainforest conservation.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Now, more of
Jungle Deep.
Our third guest is Reggie Bussey. Reggie is a professional traveler and adventurer. She produces her own website to encourage and inform others to seek adventure, called BackpackersWanted.com. The opening music is called Bussey's Bounce by Henry Bussey. Reggie Bussey is an avid backpacker, traveler, and adventurer, and one of her outstanding characteristics is her outgoing personality and confidence. Reggie is one of the three finalists of the Wild Guide competition. Welcome, Reggie, to Jungle Deep.
Thank you very much, Ken. Glad to be here.
Now, I know this must be a very exciting time for you. Would you tell us a little bit about what is a wild guide?
Well, I suppose in a nutshell, a wild guide is somebody who has a passion for wildlife and nature, but more so lives it out. You know, they're involved in their local communities or they're involved overseas, wherever it is, just to make a difference in the world and make a difference in environments, habitats, and I guess communities.
Well, very good. In context of this competition, what do you think it is that they're looking for as a wild guide?
I think they're looking for somebody who is engaging and relatable. They want somebody who's knowledgeable, but they also want somebody who can learn alongside the viewers. So you kind of feel like you're going on an adventure together.
What were you doing before this competition came about?
What I've been doing for the past 10 years, I've been traveling.
Tell us some of the places. Where have you been?
I've just capped 50 different countries. And most recently, I was in Africa. I was there for about 4 months, and I went through 9 different countries and went on every single safari I could possibly afford and just got involved in a few projects down there.
Well, from what I've seen so far, you're not a typical tourist. You're more of a, like I said, an adventurer. You get out there in the dirt and you hoof it and you have close encounters with interesting creatures. Am I right?
Well, there's no other way to do it.
You've been traveling and backpacking and hiking around the world for 10 years?
I have.
How do you do that? I mean, most people hear that, they'll go, how in the world can you do that? I mean, how come I'm stuck in a job and you're out there having all the fun? How do you do that?
Well, you know, I've taken a passion and made it my reality. I work very hard and I budget. I save my money for my trips. So I've worked all over the world, you know, pouring pints at probably dozens of bars. I've also worked in the adventure industry in Interlaken, Switzerland. And I'm also a freelance travel writer. So, you know, I kind of just, I guess, take the risk. I just go for as long as I can on my money. And when it's time to find a job, find a job.
Well, now, so what were your goals before this competition came about? I assume you didn't grow up thinking you were going to be a television star doing wildlife shows someday. Or did you? Did you have thoughts that something like this might happen? Or what were your goals?
No, I mean, my goal has always been to spread the joy of travel, wildlife, and culture. But it wasn't until, 6 years ago, I was working for a company, a commercial production company, and I got a bit of the background in the industry and kind of learned the ropes and thought, hey, if I could marry my love of travel with a profession, then, you know, I'd be pretty good. So I guess that's where the TV side of it came into play. And since then, I take stupid videos all over the world, as you'll see in my video. It's nothing professional. It's me with a point and shoot camera and just trying to capture those moments of excitement and the nuances that come with traveling and wildlife.
So how did you hear about the contest?
My good friend, Tiago, who is also in the top three. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tiago and I met in Switzerland. I was working at my adventure job.
I had the impression you two knew each other, but I don't know how.
Well, you know, I guess
you say you met in where? In Switzerland?
Yeah, fate brought us together in that way. I was, he came to my desk and he was wanting to do some hang gliding or bungee jumping. And So we got chatting, and ever since then, we've just been in contact via email. And, you know, he loves to travel too. So it's kind of those emails like, hey man, where you at? You know, how's life? And I had just got back from my last trip and had an email from him saying, you know, Reg, hey, I think you're from Omaha. Look into this. And I looked into it and thought, gosh, this is a dream. You know, this is my lifestyle already. And if I can share that with other people, then again, that would be a dream come true.
Yeah. Yeah. So you heard about the contest from
him. I did. But, you know, it's Tiago and I joke around. You know, he introduced me to it and I am forever, forever thankful. But I think the other contestants would agree from that point on, we really had to promote ourselves, promote our videos and promote Mutual of Omaha. So I don't feel like I was handed this by any means. I feel like it's been a process and one that I'm very thankful for him, you know, to introducing me to.
Well, sure. And it's, how about that? It's a great coincidence that you two just happen to be good and happen to have the winning videos for this competition. And now you're racing neck to neck.
Well, so. And Steffi, I haven't had a chance to chat with her yet. We exchanged phone numbers, but I really look forward to talking with her also, you know, because this whole process, you know, you don't want to necessarily consider it a competition because at the end of the day, we're trying to promote a bigger cause. And so long as one of us is the wild guide and is able to transfer that knowledge, then, you know, we've already won.
I think you all three already have won indeed because you've certainly gotten a lot of exposure and you'll continue to get exposure as a result of being, you know, being a part of this. So I'm sure it's going to help all three of you in your careers, however that path goes. Well, I'm curious about something else now. It's one thing to be an explorer and traveler and so forth, but to put together a good video requires having a good message and visuals, like video segments or stills, and knowing what style you want to communicate and what story you want to tell and the music you're going to use, and then you have to edit it all together. Now, did you have all these components readily available to you?
Well, I had probably 5 terabytes of video footage, so that wasn't difficult. But yeah, I just used iMovie, and I bought a cheap track of music on, I don't know, some website, and put it together.
Now, wait a minute. You're telling me you edited that video all together and shot it yourself, too? I mean, you didn't have a cameraman or a videographer involved at any point?
No, the only videographers I would have is the person I'm traveling with at any given time and handing them my camera and saying, hey, film me.
Well, Tiago had the same kind of report to give me on that question, and I'm a little surprised because they're very good. You know, the quality is very nice, and that's amazing. You both have skills in that area, too. How has the competition changed your goals?
Oh, it absolutely has. Because up until this point, when I travel, as I say, I like to find different conservation efforts to kind of sink my teeth into. And I've always been one who focuses on sustainable tourism, trying to find the local companies, people who are doing good, not just some massive corporation that's trying to sell you a tour. So I guess that was always my thought process of I'm doing good in the world, you know, by kind of spreading my knowledge of these different companies by putting them on my website or writing blogs on them. I thought I was doing a pretty good job. But what I've realized through this is how incredible social media is, and to utilize that platform. And I know the other competitors would agree. We pretty much put our videos out there and asked people to support. And before you know it, it blew up. And I think that's really encouraging moving forward that we do have that effect on so many people. And obviously Wild Kingdom in the past, that was always the goal, was a transfer of knowledge and wildlife education and awareness. So, you know, the fact that we could bring that into, I guess, modern day society, bring back that wonderful concept is my new goal. You know, I really want to be a part of something bigger.
And doing it in this new way using social media.
Well, yeah. Oh, gosh. I mean, it's that whole concept of viral. It really does matter. And I think, you know, wildlife education person to person is still the best way. You know, when you can actually hold an animal or see, you know, their movements and their gestures, that's going to resonate. But if you want to hit a huge amount of people, social media and, for instance, Wild Kingdom TV being online is a huge help.
Well, being the producer of a podcast and also having done a television show online too, you know, you're speaking to the choir here. But in fact, I'm sure it's no surprise to those 5 million viewers that have checked in at the Mutual of Omaha website and seen your videos there. That's pretty awesome, isn't it?
Oh, it feels great.
To know that many people are paying attention to this. It's just amazing. Well, what effects do you expect being the Mutual of Omaha Wild Guide will have on your daily life?
I'd actually, hopefully be paid to do what I love.
Yeah, you know, well, you would expect that.
But
and that would be a change for you then. You haven't been paid to do this work up till now.
Nope. Money's just been going out.
Time to turn that around, huh?
Well, and you know, money aside, if it doesn't go that way, no worries. It's already my life. I really don't feel like it would change me that much. It would just kind of dictate where my travels take me.
Uh-huh.
So every year, I mean, I kind of have my bucket list of places I want to go and projects I want to get involved with. And this would just set me in a different direction or in a specific direction.
Are you expecting the Wild Guide position to be a full-time effort?
You know, probably not. I think at the moment, they're wanting to get a few webisodes out and see what the following is, see what kind of interest we can generate. And from that, and from whoever the host is, then maybe they'd look at broadcast television. So I can't say it's a full-time job by any means. It could just be a couple of webisodes.
Mm-hmm. But, have they given you any clue? Have they given you any feedback as to whether they're considering redoing a TV show or just limiting it to the web?
No, they haven't. Right mm-hmm. now, it's just web. Mm-hmm. And there has been talk on some of the press releases I've read. It says possible TV. Mm-hmm. But at the moment, I'm just focusing on, hey, a webisode is a webisode. And if we can get the cause out there and get the word out there, then it's always positive.
What about if you do not win the competition? Do you expect your life to be different from here on?
No, well, I'd, you know, of course, be pretty bummed about it. But you know, I'm one of those people who just rolls with the punches. I'm not going to stop doing what I love. I'm not going to stop getting involved and spreading the, as I call it, the wild word. And I would just hope whoever gets it does a fantastic job. And from the looks of the other competitors, they would.
Do you think that you would put more emphasis on pursuing a TV webisode kind of? I mean, you don't have webisodes up on your website, do you?
No, now? I just have a YouTube channel with all my
Oh, you
fun
do?
Videos.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. I need to check that out. So you're producing your own show right now on YouTube? Is that fair to say?
No, not at all.
No.
They're just like 2 or 3 minute videos of me on a safari in Kenya or I don't know.
Well, do you think you might formalize that? I'm not trying to push you in that direction. I was just wondering if this being a part of Mutual of Omaha's story might have you, thinking a little more seriously about a formal program.
You know, and it's something I have looked into, but I've always struggled when you're producing something, unless you have a group of people willing to support you, it's very difficult to kind of formulate a script and to be able to film all of your own footage to then edit it. And especially for me, I'm on the road a lot. And when you're in the middle of Malawi, you're not going to have a good Wi-Fi connection to upload a high-def video for mm-hmm. you know such an online show. So mm-hmm. I have considered it, but it's very difficult for me. And mm-hmm. I feel mm-hmm. like sometimes I miss out on the day-to-day interaction, which is in essence why I'm traveling, because then I have to shut myself away to edit a show over a week.
And it does take a lot of time.
It does.
I've spent a ton of hours editing programs. Yeah,
and being a perfectionist, it just takes that much longer.
That's right. It sure does. Well, what would you like to tell our listeners?
The final message is just get involved. You know, I've been very blessed and very fortunate with the lifestyle I lead, but you don't have to go somewhere exotic to have these animal encounters or to feel like you're giving back to communities and to environments. Go down to your local zoo, see if you can volunteer or look at internships. Heck, you could go to one of the weekly classes that they have on different animals and habitats. You can donate, you know, even $20. It's not a lot of money, but it really can make a difference in some of these conservation movements. And I'd say the other thing, and I spoke about it earlier, is social media. If there's an animal that's close to your heart or a project close to your heart, put it out there. You never know what's going to go viral. And by just getting that knowledge on such a platform, it's going to blow up. I guarantee it. But we just have to get more people interested in conservation and awareness.
Well, I have no doubt that people like you are going to help us do that. And I'm sure all of our listeners agree with me that we wish you the best as you move forward in Mutual of Omaha's Wild Guide competition. I want to thank you for being on the show. It's been a real pleasure, Reggie, and I wish you all the best.
Pleasure's all mine. Thanks, Ken.
Out sooner if you'd asked me like that. Reggie Alligator.
Reggie Alligator.
Reggie Alligator.
Reggie Alligator.
That's our show for today. Visit our website, jungledeep.org, to access the show notes page for this episode, where you will find additional photos, websites, and Facebook addresses for all three of these fantastic wildlife adventures. And keep tuned to Jungle Deep to hear the announcement of the first place winner of the Wild Kingdom Wild Guide. We will be talking with he or she to hear all about what the final weeks of competition at corporate headquarters were like, and to find out what they have in store for us on Wild Kingdom. Send me an email at ken@jungledeep.org to tell me who you would pick to host the upcoming Wild Kingdom Wildlife Show, and why. I want to hear from you. The music in this podcast has been in the intro, Terraconda Mix by Ken Jones with Apple Music Loops, and Dr. Jones Mix by Pop Royals and Aqua, Stephanie by T. Mickey, and Arnie's Army by Billy Mack, Tiago by Keith Oxman, and Bahia by Perry Como, Bussy's Bounce by Henry Bussy, and Reggie Alligator by Lisa Haley. And a segment in our episode closing is by Don Tiki called Jungle Julie. Well, the show's over for today, so it's time to refill my Mai Tai, mount my elephant, and head back into the jungle.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.